This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Yesterday, we spoke with Atlanta Symphony Orchestra President and CEO Dr. Stanley Romenstein about the orchestra's decision to call off the season opening concert on Thursday and all concerts through November 8th because of the ongoing contract impasse with the musicians who are locked out. Joining us now to give us the musician side is Joel Dallow. He is an ASO cellist. He would be going into his 16th year once the season actually begins. He's also a member of the ASO Players Association Committee. That's the organization that serves as a liaison between the musicians and symphony management. Joel Dallow, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Obviously, money is the big thing. The symphony continues to struggle with debt. And the simple argument from symphony management is, look, we can't continue the economic model if we agree to what the musicians want. If there is no blood to come out of the turnip, does it do any good to demand the blood out of the turnip?
Well, we believe that that argument is actually false. We've shown evidence over the last 2 years that the ASO's assets have been moved around to other areas within the Arts Center, meaning the ASO has suffered artificially induced shortfalls while the Arts Center as a whole has done just fine.
Is there a particular instance that you can show of where money's been moved around?
We, as the musicians, do believe that the ASO should pay down long-term debt, which is one of the things that they've chosen to do. However, all of the money that has come in, the extra money that has come in the last two seasons, has been used only to pay down long-term debt, and none of it has been set aside to take care of maintaining a world-class orchestra. And that's where we argue about the use of funds being engineered to produce deficits for the ASO. And specifically, the land, for instance, on 14th Street that was to be our new symphony hall, that land was sold and brought in multi-millions of dollars, and they made the decision to use $4.5 million of that to pay off the Verizon amphitheater loans, which had another 5 years. They wanted to prepay those loans, which is a fine financial decision. But on top of that, they also used it to pay off other debt. Again, something we don't necessarily disagree with, but there have also been donations that came in at the same time to the tune of about $3 million and many other assets that came in that the Woodruff Arts Center specifically would not let the ASO use for operations. The ASO was starved into a position to maintain a deficit, which we believe was done intentionally to force the orchestra into further concessions as we are looking at right now. Because the philosophy is not the same from the Arts Center as it is from the ASO, which believes that we should maintain a world-class orchestra in a major city like Atlanta. So I would argue that it's not only a financial issue. This is a philosophical issue. Choices have been made that have made it impossible for the ASO to balance the budget. Therefore, they could force further concessions 2 years after we gave them $5.2 million to fix and plan a future for this orchestra that would put us on the path to success. And that was the promise that was made to us 2 years ago. So when they've come back and locked us out again to further diminish this orchestra, they have broken the promise that was made to us when we gave them $5.2 million 2 years ago, making us the largest single donor to the organization in the last 2 years.
How much sense does it make to say, oh, they were trying to force concessions, when unless they absolutely had to, they'd be hurting themselves?
That's why we believe it's philosophical. We actually are not convinced that this organization or the Woodruff Arts Center really wants to maintain a world-class orchestra. They can say that, but their actions are showing differently. If they really wanted to maintain a world-class orchestra, then they would put the resources in place that could do both, pay down long-term debt, and take care of maintaining the musicians that have won 27 Grammy Awards on stage. And furthermore, when they make a proposal to offer $3.75 million to buy out the longest-standing members of this orchestra and then tell us that there's no money, that argument is pretty hollow.
But if what you're saying is true, what would be the point? What would be the point of not having a world-class orchestra?
I believe that from Virginia Heppner's comments last week, I'm not sure that she's able to actually define what world-class is. And I don't believe that the Arts Center believes that that's an important thing to have in the Arts Center.
And here you're referring, I think, to a comment that Ms. Heppner made to me a couple of weeks ago when the lockout was announced, and here's what she had to say then.
I believe what Atlantans are asking for is to make sure that we have art that's relevant in their life. And it's up to anyone to decide what's world-class and what an orchestra should be. But what we're dedicated to is making sure that we are relevant and part of the community and very successful. And making sure, frankly, these fabulous musicians have a career in the future. You know, what other cities and what other communities define as great, that's what's reflected in their community. We're really excited about what the future could be here.
Isn't a legitimate question to ask, can Atlanta sustain the orchestra the way all of us would like to? Is the financial reality just that it might not be able to?
It's absolutely a legitimate question to ask. However, I believe that it has been answered by the funds that have been raised in the last couple of years and diverted away from the ASO. I think that they believe that our art form is too expensive and that compared to the museum and the theater and the costs that run in the other divisions of the Art Center, we are looked at as too expensive. Now, nationally, we are actually quite inexpensive compared to our peer orchestras. I personally don't understand what the point is of doing this, except for to make it a model that is easy for them to fundraise, easy to manage costs, and makes it possible to cover up the absolute failures of Dr. Roman Stein and the Art Center of having a thriving, successful organization. He has been under-equipped to do this job since he got here. He came with no orchestral management experience, and he has failed at raising the funds to keep the orchestra going in the direction that it should. We believe that with the correct leadership, Atlanta absolutely can continue to have and maintain a world-class orchestra.
Did the orchestra inform you or any members of the committee about the decision to cancel the performances?
There was no notification, and we've had no conversation or negotiation with them since they locked us out. Even prior to locking us out, the 2 days before, they refused to meet with us. And they have publicly stated that conversations have been ongoing. That is patently false and has not happened. As a matter of fact, at 11 o'clock yesterday, we received an email from them requesting for the first time in the 8 months of negotiations that we bring in a mediator. We were just responding to that request for a mediator when within minutes of that response, they announced the cancellation of not just opening week, but all the way up to November 8th. And that does not seem like good faith bargaining from our perspective. Being on the negotiating committee for the past 3 years has allowed me to watch the path that we have gone in the past 3 years from the first lockout to this lockout. Both of these negotiations has not been what I would call negotiations. A negotiation is when both parties are willing to go back and forth and come from their position, and we all know what it is because we do it in our daily lives. A negotiation with them has been them, both instances, imposing their will on us. And we were reasonably able to help them solve this problem 2 years ago, and this is why we have drawn a line in the sand now, because what they are doing is unprecedented in any major orchestra in this country. There is no major orchestra in this country that doesn't have a minimum number of players on stage. And to leave that decision up to Dr. Roman Stein, who's simply unqualified to be able to judge how many players we should have on stage and has simply not lived up to his promises of what he claimed he was going to do 2 years ago, which was for them to fundraise an equal portion of what we gave them to put the organization on a path to success. Because that has not happened, how can we possibly see credibility in Stanley Romanstein having the ability to decide how many musicians we have on stage and not make a decision that has anything other than to do with what can be afforded? And that is simply the wrong direction to take an orchestra that has been so successful for 70 years.
One thing Dr. Romanstein did say to me, though, was that he would be willing to meet with the players pretty much anytime, anywhere, and here's what he had to say about that.
We'll be glad to sit down with them. We'll be glad to sit down with a mediator or without. Again, I think we're all interested in the same solutions.
And you said that in the past, at least, the orchestra management has refused to meet with you. Do you think that this signals a change in what you understand to be their position?
I think it only signals a change if they are actually willing to negotiate. Unfortunately, we have gotten the same email from Stanley saying that he is willing to meet with us. But then followed by that is him saying that they're absolutely not moving from their final position. So if we were to meet with them, how would we actually negotiate a contract if they're not willing to move from their final position? It's all fine and well to say that you'll meet with the Players Association, but if you say that and then you say you will not move from your final position, I don't consider that to be a negotiation, and neither does this committee.
But how can anybody move from a position, though, if you don't meet at all? So are you saying unless you guys move first, we won't meet?
No, but actually the last proposal that was presented from our side. We gave them a proposal when the contract expired and when they chose to lock us out, and their response was, sorry, but this isn't good enough. We are happy to meet with you anytime, but we're not moving from the last position that we gave you. I'm not suggesting that we're not willing to meet with them. We absolutely are willing to meet with them, and we are going to have conversations with the mediator that we have spoken about meeting with us and look at that process and see how we can proceed. But I would say that if they're not willing to move from their position is so damaging to the future of this orchestra that it's untenable for us to even consider moving in a direction that would shrink the orchestra down to a chamber orchestra potentially.
But isn't that why you need a mediator? And hasn't the Players Association, at least in the past, expressed reservations about bringing a mediator in?
I wouldn't say that we've expressed reservations. I would say that the reason why we have not agreed to it at this point, and like I said, we are going to have conversations and figure out how we can move this process forward, because we all want to do that. It's in the best interest of all of us. However, we have been dealing with Dr. Romanstein. Dr. Romanstein has to deal with the Arts Center. So we've already had a layer where we are not negotiating with somebody who has the final say as to what happens in this contract. If we were to add a mediator into that, and then we have a mediator, then it goes to Dr. Romanstein, then it goes to the Arts Center. We have three layers that we have to get through to try and negotiate a contract, which seems so unwieldy to actually get something done. And that's why we have not done it to this point. They have suggested bringing in a mediator, I believe her name is Allison Beck, who negotiated or helped negotiate the Met opera contract that just settled, and they have suggested that we engage her, and I believe that we are about to have conversations with her about how to get this process moving. So it's in all of our interest to get this moving, but there has to be a real effort from their side to want to negotiate a contract.
One other point that Dr. Romanstein mentioned was the health insurance costs. And I know that the musicians say, look, if we shoulder the kind of share of the health care costs that the orchestra wants us to, then the pay raise they're offering will be more than canceled out. But given the fact that employers all over the place are having to ask employees to shoulder more of the health care costs, and given the symphony's financial position, is there any reason why the players can't shoulder a percentage of the cost that might be more in line with what employees and other businesses do?
Well, there are several answers to that question. The first one is that we have already offered them enough in our proposal to save them the money that they claim they want to save. The problem here and the disagreement is that what they are asking us to shoulder is not in line or anywhere close to in line with our industry standards. And when I say industry standards, I'm talking about our peer orchestras that pay significantly more than the Atlanta Symphony pays. And given the fact that we made giant concessions 2 years ago, this would only be further concessions. Furthermore, they want the ability to control the healthcare plan and change what our plan looks like at will. And in the past, again, with a collective bargaining agreement, we have collectively agreed to have a policy that looks a certain way for the health and safety of our musicians who deal with a lot of repetitive stress injuries because of the nature of what we do for a living. what we have proposed to them is in line, is absolutely in line with the rest of our industry. And, of course, we have been willing to explore healthcare options with them. And as I said previously, we have absolutely showed them on paper in our last proposal how to save as much money as they're trying to save by the percentages that they want us to pay, which again leads me to say that this is not a financial issue. This is a philosophical one. We believe that they do not feel that the musicians are paying their fair share, which does not take into account what our industry standards are and what we have to do to put ourselves on stage with our instruments.
So now that the first few weeks of the season have been canceled, are you and the orchestra management, in even if it's talks about talking, are you communicating?
Yes, except for that the email that we responded with to talk about negotiating with the federal mediator went back to them minutes before they canceled 7 weeks of the season. So I'm not sure what communication there has been since that email, but yes, we are going to work to communicate with them. And I want to add, actually, that because we have a 27 Grammy Award-winning orchestra in Atlanta, we are going to do what we continue to do best, and we are going to bring concerts to our community. We're going to bring free concerts to our community, and we have started a foundation, which I can give you the website for. It's www.atlsmfoundation.org. And we're going to raise money through that foundation and produce concerts all over the metro area for our community, because that's what we do best, and that's how we feel that we can, through this time, is to continue to provide music to our community. And we're starting by Friday night. We're going to have a concert at 7 and a concert at 9 at Kennesaw. And we will have two concerts available there for our public, and they will be free. Because this is what we do best as musicians, and we do not want to deprive the community of what we do best.
Will you have the conductors who normally head the orchestra during the season, like Robert Spano or Donald Runicles, with you for those concerts?
Well, the concerts on Friday are led by Michael Palmer, who has a long-standing relationship with the ASO, going all the way back to Robert Shaw, and also was the beginning music director for the Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra when it started. But we will welcome guest conductors and guest artists from around the world who stand in solidarity with us. Our music directors, I think it's pretty clear that they understand where we're coming from, and we'll be in conversations with them about if it's possible to have them also work with us.
So given the hard and fast positions we're hearing from both sides, are you optimistic that the season itself can be saved?
I hope so. I think that the musicians are willing, given certain agreements in this next contract are made, that we would like to obviously get back to playing music as soon as possible.
Do you have any preconditions for negotiations, though?
Well, we absolutely cannot have an orchestra that is allowed to shrink down to a chamber orchestra size. With Stanley Romanstein having the final say as to how many musicians are sitting on stage, that is absolutely unprecedented in the industry and a artistic line that cannot and will not be crossed. We have worked with them to help control the cost by filling the vacancies that we have in a slower manner than what is currently in the collective bargaining agreement. So we have been flexible with how those numbers are filled, but we absolutely cannot have an orchestra that does not have a set number of players on stage, because then the orchestra goes from a world-class orchestra to a regional orchestra. And I know that Atlanta, the 10th largest city in the country, deserves better than that.
And there you're referring to one of the positions of the orchestra, that while there not necessarily be any set number of cuts, that the orchestra management be given the flexibility to choose when it needs to how many players there would be. Is that correct?
That is correct. That decision should not lie with the orchestra management, that should lie with our artistic director.
Joel Dallo is an ASO cellist. He is also a member of the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra Players Association Committee, which is the liaison with management in the current labor dispute. Joel Dallo, thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate it, and we'll check back with you.
Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me.